sort of goes along with Robbie's lesson today. You know, we stand for the truth, but we are laborers. And God has left us here for a purpose. The Lord could have saved you if just to get you into heaven. When he saved you, boom, took you on out, took you into the heaven. But he leaves you here. And he leaves you here for a purpose. And that purpose is to be a witness. That purpose is to be an ambassador for Christ. And we represent the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. The body of Christ is the only representative that the Lord has in this world. It's not the Pope. He's not the representative of God. The body of Christ is. You are. If you're saved, you're a member of the body of Christ. Then you're an ambassador for Christ. And you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says back in chapter 5 before we read in chapter 6. In chapter 5, it says in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now, reconciliation is not salvation. And a lot of people get it mixed up. Reconciliation is bringing two parties together. Reconciling two parties that are in disagreement, that are have a wedge or a barrier that's between the two parties. And reconciliation has to do with removing that barrier and removing whatever separated the two parties apart. God was in Christ reconciling, not saving, reconciling, removing whatever separated man from him. Now look, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Then I know that the trespasses that they did, the world, is what God had to deal with in order to reconcile the world unto him. He had to remove that. Them trespasses is what separated us from the Lord, the world from the Lord. He said, not imputing. The word imputing is put to their account. We have the imputed righteousness of God, not the imparted righteousness of God. We have, as saved people, we have the imputed righteousness of God. That is, his righteousness is put to our account. Y'all understand? So, he said, not imputing, not putting their trespasses unto them. He's not putting it to their account, the world. God's not holding the world accountable in the dispensation of grace for their trespasses. God's not judging the world for their trespasses today in the day of grace. God's not sending hurricanes. He's not sending tornadoes. He's not sending death, destruction, and misery upon the people of this world in the dispensation of grace. Why? He's not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, people don't believe that. I'm telling you, they do not believe verse 19, and yet the ones that won't believe that will stand up and say, I believe the King James is the Word of God, believe every word in it. They're lying. I guarantee you, you go to ask them. Look, he said, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath. committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God has given us the word, and that word is the word of reconciliation, and it's all in the gospel of Christ. The reason why God can be just and be righteous and save men and women, boys and girls like me is because of what Christ did on that cross in dealing with our trespasses. Now, hang on to 2 Corinthians and turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Folks, we have the greatest message this world has ever heard. And I'm talking about it's not being preached. And if it does get mentioned, it gets perverted before it's over with. And there's something that's added to it. There's something that's took away from it. And Paul said there's many that pervert the gospel of Christ. They turn it from what God meant it to be and turn it into a work of the flesh. In other words, there are people today that will preach that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and God raised him the third day, and you must repent of your sins. Turn from your sins, and God will receive you. That's a perverted gospel. And they made the cross of Christ of none effect. I want to tell you here today, and as far as I know, looking around, everybody in here, as far as I know, because I can't see your heart like the Lord, but as far as I know, everyone in here has a testimony of salvation. But if you don't, let me tell you right now, you don't have to turn from nothing. You don't have to get up. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do nothing. All you need to do is believe, like Robbie said, that Christ died for you, and believe it in your heart and accept Him as your Lord and Savior right now where you're sitting. You can be saved and have eternal life and walk out of this building a saved member of the body of Christ, and nobody know it unless you told them. There is no salvation that you can have outside of the fact of the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ. That's good news for me. The night I got saved, I was 19 years old. Y'all have heard this at least 10 times since I've been here. But the night that I got saved, for the first time really in my life, and I know when I was 16, I told the preacher if I died, I'd go to hell. I knew I was a sinner. But I thought after I came up there, felt better, and that was my testimony. For 16 to 19 years old, deceived, tried to live a life pleasing to the Lord, but that night, for the first time, I seen myself going to hell, and I was afraid. I was scared. I was scared to leave that hotel room. I was scared that I'd never have another opportunity to be saved. And I wanted to be saved more than anything else. And that night, when I looked upon Him, I trusted Him, I called upon Him, I appealed unto Him for my salvation, and He saved me. I've been saved ever since. What amazing news that is. Say, you lived a life of sinless perfection? No. Hadn't even got there. Hadn't even come close. But this one thing I do, like Paul, I forget those things which are behind and press toward that mark. And that mark was he wanted to live a life as though he was resurrected. And he never did obtain to that. Now, I want you to see in Romans, that's good news, the gospel of Christ. Why? Because I couldn't do nothing. There was nothing that I could say, nothing that I could do to make God pleased with me. God's pleased with me today because he's pleased with his Son. And I want to look at that in just a moment. Romans chapter 1. Notice what he said in verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that walks the aisle. Different translation, isn't it? Everyone that's baptized. Nope. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now here's my verse 17. For therein, the gospel of Christ, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Then that faith, I want you to understand, is the faith of Christ, my faith in his faith. And that's how God, he said, for therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. What is it? That God can be righteous in forgiving an old sinner like me. You see, God, a judge, he can't just wipe the slate clean. He would be a crooked judge. God had to deal with your trespasses. And he did deal with them at the cross. Now back in Corinthians. He said there in verse, back in chapter 5. He said in verse, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And that's how he reconciled us, by removing that sin bearer by the death of his Son. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Do you see what Paul said? How did God beseech the Corinthians? By Paul. By Paul's preaching to them. Hang on there and come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 15. He said in verse 15, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. In other words, Paul, God beseeched the Corinthians through Paul. If there's somebody here that's lost today, you know what God's doing? God's beseeching you through me and the preaching of the cross for you to be saved. God was beseeching you through Robbie by preaching the gospel, through Kevin by preaching the gospel. God beseeches people through his ambassadors. That's your job. Isn't that something? You are an ambassador of the Creator of heaven and earth. And the people that you minister around, God beseeches people through you to come to him. What an awesome responsibility it is. To think that God, that's why Paul said that the gospel was put into my trust. God trusted Paul with this great message. God trusted you with this great message. He's given you the greatest news for the world and the world could ever have. And you got the words of eternal life. Wow. Makes you feel sort of small, don't it? That God would entrust me with a message like this. So he could beseech people to come to his son, to come to the cross, to have eternal life. Look what he says there. He said, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. In other words, Paul said, in Christ's stead, I'm pleading with you. Be ye reconciled to God. You see, God has reconciled himself to the world. Now it's up to the world to reconcile themselves to God. That barrier that keeps them from being saved, most of the time it's a barrier of pride. Our religion. Do you know why Israel was blinded? Look back with me. Notice in 2 Corinthians, you there, turn back a few pages to chapter 3. Notice in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. Notice what he says in verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. They could not see Christ as the Messiah. They could not see Christ as the Lamb that would pay for their sins. They could not see Christ for that veil that was upon them. That veil had to do with their religion and the keeping of the law. Turn back and look at, hang on there, the 2 Corinthians 3, we're coming back, but look back in Romans. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And just as it was for Israel today, so it is with the religious systems of the world today. Do you know why people are blinded today? It's because of religion. Look in Romans chapter 10. Paul said in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. How many people today do you know have a zeal of God? They have a zeal of their religion. But look what he said, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness. And that's what people want to do today. They want to establish their own righteousness. They are self-righteous. They're trusting in their good works to get them to heaven. They're trusting in their religion to get them to heaven. They're trusting in what they can do for the Lord instead of what the Lord has done for them. They're trying to make their old flesh acceptable to God. And your old flesh will never be acceptable to God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. And you'll never please God in your flesh. The works of your flesh, they are stench in God's nostrils. We please God in Christ. I'm accepted in the beloved. But look on. He said they're going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Folks, that's why they were blinded. Back in 2 Corinthians again, in chapter 4, he said in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. People today is going about in a religious way to establish their own righteousness. They're trying to be good enough to get saved for God to accept them. They're trying to perfect their flesh. They're trying to do this and quit that. And they're exalting their flesh all the way while God is rejecting it, and they're blinded to the truth. What is the truth? That you don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. Christ died for all of your sins, and the barrier is removed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What a message. I mean, you couldn't ask. What a Savior we have today. He's done it all. Folks, if it was left up to me, I would declare there would be something I'd leave out. If it was all up to me, I'd add something that I shouldn't have added. But the Lord did it right. And He was satisfied. Now we're ambassadors to this great message. We have this ministry of reconciliation. We have this ministry of ambassadorship. And we have this message to give to this world. And we're in Christ's stead on this world. And we have this great message. And that's our work. Notice what he says now in chapter 5. In chapter 5, or chapter 6. Well, let me just go ahead and finish it. Verse 20 again, he said now in chapter 5, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, God had to do this before he could justify us. Why? Your sins had to be dealt with. And he did. Notice what he says in verse chapter 6 now. We then, as workers together with him, we have this ministry. We're workers together with him. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. To receive the grace of God. You're saved by grace, are you not? We are saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, you didn't earn it. You don't earn it. You don't work for it to keep it. God has sealed you unto the day of redemption. The day you trusted Christ, you're baptized into that body, and you're sealed in that body unto the day of redemption. You're so saved, you couldn't go to hell if you wanted to. And you go into heaven whether you want to or not. Now, I say that to get a point across, and people say, well, I don't think you'll ever be where you didn't want to go to heaven. You know, you try to get a point across, and somebody takes it literal, and then the things that they ought to not take literal, they take it, and the things that they should take literal, they say, well, it's spiritual, and you know, we're just nutty as a pecan pie in this world, ain't we? But look what he says. receiving it in vain. What is that? Well, look back with me to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Hang on there. What is receiving it in vain? God showed you grace. God saved you by His grace. God helped you. God had a man, and God was beseeching you through the preaching of that man or the teaching of that man. Or if you're out there and you're talking and you're giving people the gospel and you're witnessing, you're telling people of your salvation, there's somebody out there that God is beseeching, and He's using you to give them help and aid. God, look what He says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says in verse 9, he said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And don't ever let nobody tell you you're not worth nothing. You are worth something to the Lord. You're not worth nothing in your flesh, but you're worth something to the Lord. And whatever you're worth to the Lord, it's by His grace that you're worth it. And don't ask me to say that again. He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." Well, how could it be in vain, Paul? He said, why wasn't it in vain? He said, "But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." That grace that motivated him. Think about the Apostle Paul. Here's a man that is a murderer. Here's a blasphemer. He's on the road to Damascus. He's doing bad things. He's killing people. He's stoning people. He's persecuting the church. He's making havoc of the church. I mean, he's got letters. He's hauling men and women, boys and girls, and having them put into prison and having them killed for the cause of Christ. This man is despicable. And God saved him. People say, "Well, I'm too bad to get saved." There ain't nobody worser than Paul. There ain't nobody worser than me. But yet this man was so bad, he said, "The righteousness which was according to the law, I was blameless." He was a Pharisee. He was circumcised and a member of a tribe of Benjamin. And he said, "What things I could brag about in my flesh, I counted them but loss." Here's a religious man doing bad things, and God saved him by His grace. You know what Paul's really saying? If anybody deserved to go to hell, it was me. And that grace that God showed me motivated me and caused me to go out and show grace to other people by sharing this message. You know something? The most powerful thing you have is your testimony. You know that? I mean your testimony. I'm talking about a testimony. I'm talking about testifying how God brought you to the point of salvation and Him saving you by His grace. That grace that He showed you in forgiving you, in saving you, in giving you eternal life, it ought to motivate you like Paul said. But if you keep it to yourself, then God's grace was bestowed upon you in vain. And at the judgment seat of Christ, that's going to be a different story. Was God's grace bestowed upon you in vain? Or is that grace that He, when He saved you, motivated you to be an ambassador and to give this message out? Only you can answer that. You know in your heart whether the grace was on you in vain, or that grace caused you to labor for the Lord. Look back in 2 Corinthians again. Notice in chapter 5 again, because these two chapters just go hand in hand. In verse 14, he said in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead." That word constraineth us. Hang on there and turn over to Acts and look at Acts. Notice in Acts chapter 28. In Acts chapter 28, in Acts 28, Paul gave an account to the chief of the Jews. They came together in verse 17, down in verse 18, "who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it," the message that Paul preached, "I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar." He was forced. It's like he had no other choice. And Paul's saying, that's the word, "for the love of Christ constraineth us." It bears us along. The lawmen put people in constraints. They bind them and they take them where they want them to go. The love of Christ, that love that He showed toward me and toward you, and the grace in forgiving me and giving me eternal life. My God, if that don't cause people to want to serve Him, then there ain't nothing in the world that can help you. What love, what grace that bears us and motivates us and causes us to be a witness and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for our glory, not for people to brag about us, not for the applause of men. It's for His glory. We ought to live for Him to the praise of His glory. It's all about Him. It's not about us. Not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're His representatives. We're the ones that has His message. Where do you find this message? You don't find it in religion. Folks, the mystery of iniquity in this world is getting stronger and stronger every day. And it's the opposite of the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness is as God is manifest in the world through the body of Christ. The church. The true church. Back in the passage, verse there, chapter 6. "We then as workers together with Him," not for Him, with Him. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. in verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We are laborers together with Him. So if we're laboring with Him, we got to follow His lead, His blueprint, His knowledge, His way of doing things. But we don't like that. We think we can do it better. What is that blueprint? We're God's building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And the foundation has to do with the preaching of Jesus Christ. Like Robbie said in the Sunday school, Jesus Christ, Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus asked them in Matthew 16, Who do men say that I am? They said, some said Jeremiah the prophet. Some said John the Baptist. He said, But who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock, upon the foundation, upon the confession of Peter, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he gave unto them the keys to Peter of the kingdom of heaven from that time on. And that was their foundation. They preached Jesus Christ according to the revelation of Peter, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the kingdom message. But you preach that today, then you're laying the wrong foundation upon the foundation that was given to the Apostle Paul. And your work will burn at the judgment seat of Christ. You can labor, you can sweat, you can suffer, and you're preaching the kingdom message, and you're preaching it, and you're building, and you're not taking heed, but you're just building, and you're suffering, and you get up the Lord at the judgment seat, and all that work, all that suffering you done, it's going to be wood, hay, stubble, and burn at the judgment seat of Christ. And you'll be saved, yet so as by fire. So what is the foundation that Paul laid? Robbie read it to you. It's wherein we stand. It's the foundation upon the body of Christ. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. What is that foundation? That Christ died for all your sins and was buried, and God raised him the third day for your justification. That's the good news. That's what the gospel that brings life. That's the power of God and the salvation. What a message, and yet it's hated. That all that we're laborers together with Him. So what do? We plant, we water. Well, who do we plant and water to? We'll turn over to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1. We've went over this a lot, 1 Corinthians 9 a lot, but it don't hurt to hear it again. I mean, we sing Amazing Grace more than once. We don't just sing a song. Robbie and Ronnie, he don't tear the page out of the song book and say, we won't never sing that again. We done sung it. But look on verse chapter 9. He said in verse 1, am I not apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? Who is your work? It's people. You deal with people. You're God's representative to people. You have a message to give to people. And you got to have the right message. And it's the message for the dispensation of grace. It's the good news of the gospel. That's the message to give to people. And then after you get them saved, then you try to bring them into the unity of the faith. You try to bring them unto the knowledge of the truth of this word rightly divided. Don't try to teach them right division before you give them the gospel. They'll never receive it. But you get people saved, you get them to see the simplicity of the gospel, and they trust Christ, then you can bring them into the knowledge of the truth. That's your work, folks. So what do? You plant, you water. That's it. What are you going to stand at the judgment seat about? Your service. What is your service? It's planting and watering. Don't let the grace of God be in vain. Don't let the love of Christ, don't let it go to waste. Let it motivate you. You know, God's saving people like us. Now think about it. You know, there's nothing good. Paul said there's nothing good about our flesh. You think about your flesh. What good comes out of your flesh? Getting old sore and old pus, whatever comes out, stinks. You have to wash your body. Keep it from what? Stinking odor comes off of it. What comes out? Oh, bad breath. That's why I carry mints. Keep your breath halfway fresh. You know, you have walked up to some people and, oh my God, when am I going to get out of this conversation? You're not even listening to what they're saying. What comes out of the old flesh? Everything's a stench. Old earwax, all that old stuff. I mean, stuff in your nose. I mean, you know what that stuff is. It's just old flesh. Nothing good comes from the flesh. But we're not in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit. And that Spirit's the body of Christ. And that's where the Holy Spirit's at. And He's putting together a body of believers. He's saving all despicable people that do not deserve to be saved. If they deserved anything, it'd be in hell. But He saves them and forgives them by His grace and puts them out into the world to be His representatives and to tell people about His grace and the good news of Christ and the gospel that saved them. What a Savior we have. Are you letting the grace of God be in vain on your life? Or is it motivating you and you're laboring because of it? You are the only ones that know the answer. Let's stand. People do what they want to do. You chose to come here today because you wanted to, and I thank you for it. Now choose to serve Him this coming week. Lord, where you can use me, If there's somebody out there that you can use me to sow the seed, then open the door for me. I'm available. That's all God is asking. He's not asking you to carry a sign. He's not asking you to do this or that. He's asked, all He wants is for you to be available. Use me, Lord. Here am I. Send me. Will you do that? Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the Word of God You've given us. Lord, I pray that the grace of God will be our motivating factor in our lives when we live for Him. Lord, if there's one here that's lost, never been saved, oh God, they know in their heart, and they are searching and they can't find the time, a moment in their life where they, as a sinner, just simply called upon You for salvation. I pray that this will be the day. Help them to do it right now where they're standing. Help them just to say, Lord, I'm lost, and I believe with my heart that You died for all of my sins and was buried, and God, You raised Your Son up for my justification. I accept that, and I believe that for my salvation. Help them to do it now. Lord, I pray that they did do that, that You'll help them to tell somebody. And everything is accomplished, we'll give You the praise for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.